the standing committee. I am hoping shortly, early this year, as the bill is now law, the president will now, because it's under his hand, to appoint the commission. And I am hoping that that will be done very early this year, as soon as budget is concluded, because it's an expensive exercise and it is budgeted for in the 2023 budget. As soon as that budget is passed, the president ought to appoint the commission, and the commission ought to begin its work. Just as another quick update, I have already identified, or the government has already identified, the building that will accommodate the commission, and the building has already been furnished in anticipation of the commission being appointed.
You know, you mentioned every political party have been putting on their manifesto about constitutional reform, like to Trinidad and Tobago, which I follow very closely. However, with the opposition in government at that time, somebody always sidestepping. What about the Law Society, the publishers of the editors of newspaper, intellectuals who could contribute? Why don't they hold to account the opposition of people who have been sidestepping and putting the country's and the nation interests below their list?
In a vibrant democracy, those voices are important. We in our government, we welcome critical, constructive oversight. We believe that that is important to our democracy and to the advancement of the development of our society, the evolution of our society. We have a Bar Association of Guyana, which is called the Law Society in Trinidad. It's quite vibrant, it's quite alive, and it does make public pronouncements. The newspapers have been covering this issue, and of course, more can be done, and more voices can emanate from civil society, because that is what makes a democracy strong and resilient. And as I said, we welcome that type of constructive scrutiny and constructive engagement from every conceivable component of our society.
Well, moving along, and with your permission, I think this interview could go a little bit longer. We are okay for time. How about you? You okay to spend a little more time with us?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. On my program, the opposition leader of Guyana was on my program last year, and he had accused the government of discrimination in the use of state resources. Is this the case?
I spend every Tuesday night 1 hour on a television program that is transmitted on the social media Facebook platform, addressing issues such as allegations of racial and ethnic discrimination. Just last Tuesday, I spent 30 minutes or thereabouts of a 1 hour program addressing that matter. At one time, an organization wanted to hold a conference in Guyana alleging apartheid. I wrote an article that was about 2,000 words in length, in demonstrating that constitutionally, institutionally, and legally, discrimination is outlawed and not permissible. And secondly, I have interrogated the allegations of discrimination, and I believe that I have established beyond any rational doubt that they are unfounded and they are without merit. I have been saying that I have been doing it, but I should use the collective. Our government has been doing it. Our president has been doing it. The general secretary of our party who is the vice president of the government, has been doing it. Every leader and minister of our government has been doing it. And why is it, Richard, we have an ethnic relations commission in Guyana. We have a constitutional court. We have signed on to every major international human rights treaty across the Western Hemisphere. These treaties have institutions within them to address the issue of racial and ethnic discrimination. All these treaties protect against racial and ethnic discrimination. We have signed on every single one of them. So we have the Ethnic Relations Commission, we have the Constitutional Court, because ethnic and racial discrimination is a constitutional wrong. And as I said, we have signed on to the United Nations, we have signed on to OAS, we have signed on to every available treaty in this hemisphere which prohibits ethnic and racial discrimination. And they have tribunals within them that will entertain cases that are brought to them alleging racial and ethnic discrimination. Why a single one of these cases has never been filed? Why are they speaking to themselves? They are saying, for example, that the way we distribute cash grant is done in a discriminatory way. I have said to them, could you produce the people who are claiming that they have been discriminated against? Everyone in Guyana has a cell phone, my friend. Everyone in Guyana, or 95% of our population, is on Facebook. We have per capita perhaps the highest concentration of Facebook members, for want of a better word, in the Caribbean. Are you telling me that they can't find one person to put on the camera to say, I have not received my cash grant because I am an Afro-Guyanese? Why they can't do that? That's all we are saying. They are saying that we are giving out assistance to the farmers in a discriminatory manner. And we have asked them, there are criteria that you have to satisfy. Whether you are Indo-Guyanese, whether you are Afro-Guyanese, whether you are Chinese or Amerindians. And it is the criteria, is based upon the criteria that you get, is based upon what you lose, that you get the compensation. I see they have done an analysis now of award of contracts. And they are saying that Indo-Guyanese get a larger proportion of contractual awards. Now, my friend, contracts are awarded in Guyana by a law, the Public Procurement Act. The Public Procurement Act lays down a process of public bidding and a competitive bidding system. The public servants, government is not involved, the public servants are randomly selected to assess the bids that are received. The bids are opened publicly and then go to assessment. Public servants, 85% of whom are Afro-Guyanese, are assessing those bids. And then they go to the tender board with a recommendation. That is the process, my friend. It is in the law. It's a public one. All the bids are advertised publicly. The results of every award is published on a website. But they are looking at the output. So, my friend, if 100 yellow persons bid for a contract, you want one red man to win? You have to look at who is bidding. If you don't buy a ticket for the lotto, you can't win the lottery. So by looking at what the awards are, and then looking at the racial composition of the awardees, and making a conclusion that's racial discrimination, is deeply flawed. As I have said, we have Afro-Guyanese dominating the police force. Is it that we are discriminating against Indo-Guyanese, and that's why they are not in the force? Afro-Guyanese dominate the army. Is it that the government is discriminating against Indo-Guyanese, and that's why they are not in the army? We have Afro-Guyanese dominating the public sector, the public service or the civil service. Is it that our government is discriminating against Indo-Guyanese, and that's why they are not there? The truth of the matter is that people historically and I suppose sociologically and ancestrally are attracted to different areas of endeavors in human life. Afro-Guyanese historically and presently seem to be more attracted to the public sector, to the disciplined services. Indo-Guyanese seem to be historically and ancestrally be more attracted to the economic sector, the financial sector, the private sector. So who you want to win the bids if one ethnicity dominate their participation in the competition? Is that ethnicity will come out? So I have asked them, let us sit in a public debate and deal with these issues. But they would not want to do that. They speak to themselves only. Invite them to a debate and they don't turn up. Because we have all the raw statistical data available to show. And we will open our government and any aspect of governmental business to public scrutiny, in particular in respect of the allegation of racial discrimination. Look, quite recently, some squatters, I think 7 of them, are squatting on state lands in the path of a national highway that is being constructed.
That's the situation.
At Mocha.
That's the situation in Mocha, is it?
Yes. Now, our government is negotiating with landowners across the length and breadth of Guyana to publicly acquire land for developmental public purposes. We are doing so for the Demerara Harbour Bridge, a mega project. We are doing so for a road across the west bank of the Demerara River. We are doing so for the gas to shore pipeline, dozens of miles. Now, these are We did so for the Borbees Bridge. Now, these are both Afro and Indo-Guyanese. Most of them are Indo-Guyanese. And we have negotiated with them and paid them adequate compensation. And these are people who own the land. Here is 6 squatters. The government can establish by record that the government has engaged them since 2008. Engaged them again in 2021, gave them homes, land and houses, paid them to move, helped them move, give them land separately for their cattle, provide them with compensation to the tune of $260 million. We have not even paid that level of compensation to people who have owned the lands. But it so happened that they are Afro-Guyanese, it becomes a racial issue. It becomes a racial issue. And that is the kind of opposition that you have in Guyana. Whenever they see a combustible situation, they come with a gallon of gasoline and they throw it to explode. They want a racial combustion in the country.
Well, we have seen where that combustion led your country a few years back. But I wanted to move ahead. There's so much that I want to address apart from national security, the police force, etc. But today I want to ask you, before you leave us, based on the Attorney General report, particularly during the previous government, I've read that several contracts which were signed, monies were paid to contractors. The government has been unable to recover these money and concluded as delivery as per contract. The CCT cameras is one that I read recently. What has been done to ensure that the taxpayers get value for the money and that we could hold these contractors accountable for the monies to receive?
So I am happy that you have raised that question, because only this morning I received a letter from the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Public Works detailing the latest litany of instances identified. You said the Attorney General just now, it's the Auditor General, identified by the Auditor General in his report, and is asking me for legal guidance on the way forward. I have already assembled today self a unit of lawyers within the AG chambers who will dedicatedly deal with that litany of complaints to which the Permanent Secretary of Public Works wrote to me on this morning. But before that, the Attorney General has been suing as the cases are made available to him. So I have sued, for example, former Minister Patterson and the public officers involved in relation to some motion scales that they fully paid for, although the contract required them only to pay. First of all, they did not go to tender as they are required to do under the law. They signed a contract that required them to pay 10% and to pay the balance when the scale is recovered. They pay 100%. So it was not publicly tendered. They pay 100% and never receive the scale. That matter is ongoing in the High Court. I have several cases. You talk about the camera, the CCTV camera. The company that they bought the CCTV camera from, when I did my inquiries, the company no longer exists. It went into liquidation. So I don't think that sum is recoverable. We don't even know where the people are. In the agri sector, there are a host of contracts that they entered into, spending hundreds of millions of dollars in buying irrigation pumps, for example, and none of them are working. I have constant engagements with the suppliers trying to rectify the contracts that are in breach, clearly in breach. And these are hundreds of millions of dollars in relation to critical pumps. They bought a whole set of machineries in the agro sector and for D&I work, drainage and irrigation work, that are not non-functional or are substandard. At Panama, for example, I'm dealing with a particular situation where they took the rice farmers' rice here and sold it to Panama and never even bothered to look for the money. Over, I don't know how many million US dollars outstanding there. Rice farmers' money. The rice farmers are languishing up to now here. These are the outstanding things that we don't even speak about. We don't even speak about as a government that we are enduring and trying to address all compliments of our predecessors who are now masquerading as paragon of virtues. If you hear them speak now, you would not believe that these are the same fellas who were in government just 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, as we get set to wrap up, I wondered if you could address, and if I might not be aware or privy to some of the changes your government and your office has made that is immediately affecting or will soon affect the normal man. Land transportation and requesting of deed and speeding up process. If you could talk to our viewers who live abroad and tell them what are some of the steps that are being taken by you and your office and your government to make everyday life and business transactions easier.
That's an unfair question to ask me at the end of the program, because that by itself will require an entire program. So our Minister of Finance will be reading the budget Monday. And in that budget, there is going to be a comprehensive regime of measures directed to making life in Guyana at every level easier. Now, I don't wish to preempt the Minister of Finance, but what have we done over the past 2.5 years since we have been there? It is a fact of public notoriety that over 200 new taxes or new fees were implemented by the previous administration. We promised to reverse each and every one of them. And I believe we have completed that exercise. We have given during the COVID period several COVID grants to not only to the workers involved, but to every category of Guyanese, including every household. Then we return the school cash grant voucher, and we increased it. We reintroduced the vouchers, the uniform vouchers for our school children. We have had a series of increases in salaries and wages across the public sector. We have increased pensions, and there are a whole menu of assistance in the form of cash grants that we have given to every category of persons and workers in our country, with particular emphasis on the poor and the disadvantaged. In terms of making business, doing business, or making business easier, there are a whole series of transactions at every level of the governmental apparatus that is taking place now to achieve that objective. So we have just passed a single window bill that will revolutionize the way that people apply for building permits, fire permits, housing permits, etc., whereby you go to one office, you submit all the documentations and they are processed by the different agencies, and you come back at that office at a particular period, and you collect either your refusal or approval. We have put in the law that wherever an agency is required to give its no objection or objection, it must do so within a period of time. If it is not done, if it doesn't address the matter, one way or another, the application will be deemed to be granted. Right now, we have several consultants working on several pieces of legislation to address similar matters across the state apparatus. We are putting e-payment laws into place to allow for the use of plastic and for there to be e-payments done across the public and government sector. Our housing program is second to none in the Caribbean. We have given out tens of thousands of house lots and houses since we have come back into government, right across the length and breadth of Guyana. We have repaired, I don't know how many hundred roads across Guyana. And of course, I can talk about the mega projects. So, I mean, I can continue to speak, but, you know, I don't want to rant and rave, giving more information that can be absorbed. And I don't want to do so in a haphazard way either. But trust me, Richard, our country is on a transformational trajectory. And it is, I mean, you must be seeing, I don't know whether you've been here recently, but I'm sure that you're seeing images on the social media and you're seeing images elsewhere. And you would recognize from your distance the transformation that is taking place infrastructurally, economically, commercially, and socially right across the landscape of our country.
Well, this program was designed to connect the diaspora with their politicians, their intellectuals, you know, and refresh us with some knowledge and hope. I hope we were able to do that today. I wanted, seeing that this is our very first program, and having you, our very esteemed guest, on today's program, I wanted to take it away a little bit from the politics and your official office a little bit, if you would allow me.
Certainly.
Mr. Nandalal, I've heard you on many occasions address audiences, brothers and sisters. I remember after the last election where your party was not successful, you came on the radio program, Shabnam Radio, and you mentioned that your party was out of touch with the grassroots. I have seen right after that where you took to the street, attending funeral, walking through the marketplace, hugging people on the street randomly for Christmas, etc. This is the person that I have been watching and somehow know a little bit about. But there's so much that we don't know. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're married. I'm not sure if you have kids or not. If you could tell us a little bit what village you come from, your beginnings a little bit. Just 2 minutes. I just want to
cry. I was born on the east coast of Demerara in a village by the name of Monreport. And then I moved to Annandale, where I grew up and lived until I became a lawyer. And then I moved to Georgetown. I am married. I have no children as yet. That's a work in progress. I'm a Hindu, as you know. My desire in life is to make a difference for the people of my country and to make a difference in my country and in the direction that I would like to see my country go. And I am grateful to my party and to all those who have made it possible and who have afforded me and provided me with the opportunity to realize this dream. Many persons have helped me and guided me along the way. My party in particular has afforded me the exposure, the opportunity, and I'm grateful to the leadership and members of my party. And that's the road that I intend to travel for the rest of my life. You know, I like what I do. That's the most important thing. To me, this thing is not work. It is part of, this is my life. You know, I have made some investments in my personal life, and they have been good. So, you know, I can fully concentrate on public service. And that's what I enjoy doing. And as I said, it's not a job. It's what I would like to do. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have been able to do it. And you know, do it at a reasonably high level with some degree of independence, which I treasure. But, you know, we are a strong collective in our party and in our government. And, you know, we act in a consensual manner. And we all have a common vision, a vision gifted to us by the great Dr. Cherry Jagan. And we hope not to depart from that vision. In fact, every day we may alter that vision a little to ensure that it remains extant and valid, because we live in a changing, dynamic society, and you can't have a stagnant vision. You have to have a vision that is evolving to meet the exigencies of a changing and dynamic people and society. And we are doing that in our party. And at a personal level, I am part and parcel of that process. Both, you know, I can't divorce my person from that role, because they are one and the same. And I it gives me great pleasure to connect with the people on the ground in particular. And you said that you were observing me during while we were in opposition, and I hope that you are observing that in government I continue and we continue to do the same. Every day, if you look at the social media in particular, you will see one of our ministers somewhere in the country addressing people's concerns. And that is the policy and that is the program of our government. And we are fortunate to have a young, vibrant, visionary president in the form of Dr. Irfan Ali. And, you know, his leadership has been inspiring.
Well, I want to thank you very much. And again, this is a historic moment for CSTV. As you know, we are now 24/7 and broadcasting every single day. And this is a program, and I was honored to have you as my first guest. I'm very pleased to have you as my first guest. You're one of the few politicians that I truly admire. Having said that, I would like to say thank you for making your time available to us. Hope that you will be willing to do so soon, maybe after the debate of the budget, etc. There's so much I had to ask you about the security in Guyana, the police force, etc. But if you would allow me to be interviewed again, I would love to have you back.
Certainly, and I'll try to have our minister responsible for national security on your program as well, my colleague, the Honorable Robson Ben. It would be interesting to speak to him first, rather, you know, on that matter, because he's a subject minister. But of course, I am available to you, Richard. We have always been in contact. There has been some hiatus, and I hope that we correct that now. And let's stay in touch, and I'm available at your convenience.
Thank you very much. We have been speaking to Honorable Minister, the Attorney General for the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, Honorable Anil Nandalal, and this is our first program. Watch out for many, many more on LiveWire. I would be remiss if I did not say a special thank you to those behind the scene who made it possible. On our end here, my team, my staff, thank you, Tony Maroney and others. And in Guyana, I want to say thank you very much to all those, and you know who you are, for your assistance. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
This is LiveWire, your diasporic connection with Richard Aziz.
Hey, and that was our first installment of LiveWire, your diasporic connection. And what an eloquent guest indeed, an eloquent speaker.
Welcome, welcome, step right up to the place where...
Again, this broadcast would be back on television tomorrow at 11 o'clock on CSTV. If you miss any part of it, we encourage you to check it out again tomorrow morning at 11. You can log on www.caribbeanshowtime.com and look at it on TV. Again, we try to be balanced. We had the opposition leader in studios last year, and it took some time to get a rebuttal. I hope that the Honorable Minister was able to address some of the claims and accusations made. You notice we don't have sponsors for these segments. It's brought to you by yours truly, because I really believe by dispersing such important information is necessary, especially those who live outside of Guyana and the Caribbean region. We are working on speaking to our next guest, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Trinidad and Tobago. Also, we are lining up a couple, Consul General of the region and High Commissioner. We were promised also a couple more interviews regularly from Cabinet Ministers and Ministers of the Government of Guyana. We look forward to working with those who are making the arrangements. Hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you find it informative. Always trying to bring something different. And another one that we're working on, I'm very happy to see, watch out for it, it's coming. That's next week. Next week, Saturday. Take a listen to this and help us spread the word. Om Canada is hosting Hanuman Satsang on Caribbean Showtime TV, Shabnam Radio, and U97.5 Hot Like Pepper Radio. This special Hanuman Satsang is supported by the Devi Mandir of Pickering, the Shiva Ganesh Mandir, Brampton, Sankat Mochan Hanuman Mandir in Ajax, the Rameshwar Mandir and Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Krishna Sudama Mandir in Brampton, the Shiva Mandir and Cultural Organization in Scarborough, the Satya Jyoti Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Radha Krishna Cultural and Community Center in Brampton, Pandit Krishnadat Maharaj of Canada, Pandit Abedanand Prasad Sharma of Trinidad and Tobago, Pandit Bimal Maharaj of Florida. Let us all enjoy the love and blessings of Hanumanji. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Hanuman.
बाली की त्रास कपीस बसै गिरी जात महाप्रभु पंथ निहारो.
It's up and running.
Up and running.
ShopNamRadio.com. Streaming the culture across the seas and around the world.
Hey, giving some praise for as we enter into our 25th year. Celebrating our 25th anniversary on Shabnam Radio. Must be grateful and thankful indeed. Want to say thank you to you, our listeners, and those of you who have been listening to us over the years. Thanks for staying on board and enjoying the ride. Hey, the lines are open, 416-848-7772. 416-848-7772. Want to say thank you to all of you who have been messaging us and enjoying the broadcast. We appreciate hearing from you. Brother Asif, Brother Arif, how are you doing? Assalamu alaikum. Hey, don't forget this evening, tonight, at District Lounge. They're coming in a big one indeed. Anil Beam, Privati Beam, Tony Katz, Bacardi Singh, and much more. In town to celebrate with DJ Spin. Want to say hello to Gordon and company out of Guyana. Hey, Mr. Harudin, how are you doing, brother? Again, want to say hello to Master Control at 7:70 a.m. Well, we are celebrating with a young lady, 11th birthday. Hey, Jennifer Callahan. A sweetheart indeed. Happy 11th birthday going out to you from your daddy, Nigel, your mummy, Amanda, not forgetting Lisa and Mandy, and yours truly, Uncle Richard, Auntie Wendy, and all of us wishing you, baby girl, a happy 11th birthday. Also, her mummy is celebrating. Amanda, happy birthday greetings with lots of love coming to you from your husband, Nigel. You know how much she loves you. Hey, we all love you. Mommy and daughter celebrating indeed. Happy birthday again. Jennifer, big girl. Your mommy and daddy, they're very proud of you. Not forgetting Lisa and Mandy. And we have some birthday celebration coming again. Stay tuned, you're listening to Shabnam Radio. Hey, Shoba, if you're listening, give me a call. Shoba Mech, the SCC girl. Hey, that's the voice of David Michael Brother. welcome to Twin Island Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. The prophet himself, the prophet of Soca, Calypso, David Rutt. Hey, anybody know where Richard Aziz come from? I give you a little clue.
Spread the word. Shout Nam Radio is now on 24/7.
Hey Jennifer, did you know your daddy is one patriotic Trinbagonian? Come on, I want you to dance this one as we celebrate your birthday, Trini style. Come Jennifer. Where you from? Any proud Trinis in the audience? I know one proud Trini, Devika. We like how you just cook, girl. Authentic Trini cuisine, this one for you. Hey, we make good company. And we talented for so. Okay, my girl wearing red, white, and black today. I didn't even know that. She mad and she bad. Hey, we celebrated with Jennifer Callahan. Uncle Richard, love you, baby girl. The park and shipping and money transfer. How you going down there, boy? Richard is loving up Toronto. I want to say thank you to all our listeners. For Trini, and we just say water. Water. So when it comes to borders, and once you get past, some Trini say water and pier. Yeah, some Trini has some relaxing there. Someone never got an accent. That's a good thing. At least I could communicate with you, right? I want to say welcome to Toronto, Tony Cutts. I want to do this one for you, Anthony and friends, coming together to celebrate with DJ Spiff. And you can catch him performing live at District Lounge. Not discriminating at all. Red, white, blue, green.
I will love you forever.
I don't think they have a white. They have a red, they have a blue, they have a green. They have a gold. Anybody? Any missing any? Devika girl, how are you doing? Hope that you would be able to help us. Again, last time you came out with your crew. And we need you this weekend, okay? Next weekend. Hey, any of you would like to be a sponsor for our Hanuman Satsang taking place next week? We'd love to hear from you. 416-832-7293. 416-832-7293. That's Mr. Tony Cotson again. He's in Tongan of performing tonight at District Lounge.
Shipping never been so easy. You want shipping in a hurry. One brand serving the whole nation. Lapakan, Lapakan. Door-to-door service, never late. Ocean cargo and you're air free. In a hurry, don't waste no time. Express shipping when you're shopping online. Warehousing to consolidate. With Lapakan, you don't have to wait. Shipping never been so easy. You want shipping in a hurry. One brand serving the whole nation. Lapakan, Lapakan.
Visit lapakan.com.
Trinidad's Sham G brings you a radio show like no other. Step into the Bollywood Zone, the Indian music industry's biggest hits. You've just gotta hear this show. Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. exclusively in Toronto on Shabnam Radio.
Farex Freight System Limited, a global leader in freight forwarding, providing trucking and warehousing services across Canada and the US of A. Farex Freight System Limited provides air and ocean freight globally. To engage our services, please email us at info@farex.com.
Twilight Family Restaurant and Bar is Scarborough's largest West Indian family restaurant. Come and sample our delicious appetizers like our chicken wings, black pudding, and spicy shrimp. Great entrees such as chili chicken and Twilight spicy chicken. Give us a call at 416-754-6894. Twilight Restaurant and Bar, serving the best in Guyanese Chinese cuisine for the past 8 years.
Hey, don't forget, Molly's at 490 Chrysler Drive, unit number 44. They have some of the tastiest food you would find. Visit them at Chrysler and William Parkway in Brampton and take advantage of their roti special. Buy 10 dal puri or paratha and get 3 absolutely free. Call ahead and place your orders. 905-793-0083. 905-793-0083. Molly's caters for all occasions. Don't forget that, okay? And for their Caribbean Explosion ice cream, you must taste it. So why not check them out today? Call and ask for Uncle Alfie, 905-793-0083. One more time, 905-793-0083.
Twilight Family Restaurant and Bar is Scarborough's largest West Indian family restaurant. Come and sample our delicious appetizers like our chicken wings, black pudding, and spicy shrimp. Great entrees such as chili chicken and Twilight spicy chicken. Give us a call at 416-754-6894. Twilight Restaurant and Bar, serving the best in Guyanese Chinese cuisine for the past 8 years.
And now this breaking news just in. The famous Roti Roti Toonie Tuesday is back. That's right. You heard it here first. The $2 Toonie Tuesday is back at Roti Roti for limited time only. Check them out from this Tuesday for the Toonie Tuesday at Roti Roti. Call or pick up 416-745-9208. Roti Roti, where no roti is made before it's time.
Hey, well, Carnival is coming up around the corner. Lots of new music coming out. Anybody heading down to Portofino? Hey, we have some condolences going out to Brother Devanand Ram Gobind. His wife Lisa Ram Gobind passed away on Thursday night, sending lots of love and prayers your way. To Devika's niece, Diana, Dina, and of course her husband, Nicholas. They are niece and nephew of Daniel Ram Gobind of King Street, Prince's Tongue. We also join in extending condolences indeed to the entire families. Well, also Pete is joining us, Pete and Baljeet, welcome my brother, and we also have some birthday greetings to share with you. We wanted first of all say happy birthday again to Amanda Callahan, celebrating her birthday with her daughter, and we here at Shopping Radio want to take some time and, you know, send you a little bit of love over there. Send me your emails, your WhatsApp messages at 416-832-7293, and we'd be happy to share your greetings. Let's see, Sally Ali, Assalamu alaikum, Richard, kindly send a birthday greetings to my mummy, Jessie, Auntie Jessie, how are you doing? Looking so young, and but I saw some pictures and not smiling at all. I don't know if that Sally Gill is giving you some trouble, but I know you're best buddies with her, so I know she'll take care of you today, and you're celebrating all weekend long. So happy birthday. We continue to celebrate with you your birthday. And of course, greetings are coming to you from your children, all your children, the grandkids and the in-laws. Everybody wishing you and loving you up with birthday wishes. Well, we want to send this one out to you. Hope you like it. Christian Sandra. What going on? Hello to the potato, the Ramutas, Mr. Zahir Khan, Lalman Sumaru. Don't forget Harold Nari is coming up at 6 o'clock with 1 hour of total local classic.
एक कहानी, एक था लड़का, एक थी लड़की दीवानी.
जो भी सुनना ना था वो भी सुनने
वाली बातें थी अनजानी एक था लड़का एक थी लड़की दीवानी
Say hello and welcome. Who we have on the line?
It's Arif Rahman.
Brother Arif, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Waalaikum salam. I really enjoy your program. The minister really talked well there. That's a good insight for the guy in here.
Well, I'm glad that you like it, and thanks for calling and saying that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I listened to it right through. It's really nice.
How is mommy and daddy?
They're doing good. We were there to listen to it with them. I just left them there.
You know, this is why.
Lovely.
Great. Thank you very much, my brother.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the day. Thanks.
Take care. Salam alaikum. Hey, brother Usman. How are you? Venture Car and Truck Rentals. Brother Abraham and my sister Sita. Pam and Silochan and the folks at Global Wireless Solutions, we want to send out love to you. We have another one here to quickly read. Richard, your brother Lalman, we all know Shabnam Radio, best program in the universe. Thank you, my brother. As usual, we want to wish you health and wealth. Next Thursday on the 26th will be my brother-in-law's birthday, Ram Charan, and he will be celebrating with my sister Sati and my dad, Paul, kids, grandkids, and myself. On behalf of the entire Samaru family, we want to wish the Padam family wishes him the best. Of course, I want to play a song, so I'm going to look for that one for you. But right now, we're going to continue with this one. I have one line up right here, right now, as we send this one out to Auntie Jessie again.